CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, proroguing Palestinian human rights. And the question we're examining today is the recent wave of cuts that we've seen on NGOs across the country. We're joined by guests from across Canada, Mary Corkery, the executive director of Kairos, a Canadian ecumenical justice organization based in Toronto. We're joined in studio by Michel Lambert, the executive director of the Montreal-based international solidarity organization Alternatives, and we'll be joined a bit later by David Blinkney, the national representative of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. So good day to our guests. Good day. Thank you so much for being with us. Maybe first we'll go to Mary in Toronto. Can you give us a picture of the reality that Kairos faces today? And also for listeners, maybe give us a picture of what you do briefly in regards to development work and human rights and your perspective on the recent wave of government cuts.
Kairos is an ecumenical organization that does social justice work both in Canada and globally for seven major churches and four church-related organizations. So that's what we do. We work on two major themes of human rights and sustainability. In terms of our work in the Global South, we have been funded by CETA for just over 35 years. Both our predecessor coalitions and the merging of those coalitions into Kairos in 2001. So how it looks right now is that 2.5 hours before our funding ran out, we got a phone call saying, you won't receive further funding. And it was shocking because I said, none, and the answer was none. You don't fit our priorities. But we weren't given any priorities. So it's been a moment of shock and a time in which the deeper we explore with people what's happening, the more comes to the surface. So what happened further than that is that we eventually did meet with the minister several weeks later, and the minister had written us a form letter saying we didn't meet a number of priorities. But in mid-December, the Minister of Citizenship and Immigration, Jason Kenney, in Jerusalem, as you probably know right now, at an international forum to combat anti-Semitism,
yes,
said that one of the actions his government was taking to combat anti-Semitism was defunding Kairos.
Mm-hmm.
And he linked that with our leadership on the issue of boycott, sanctions, and divestment, which we aren't leading, and we've made that clear. But he has still continued to criticize us for our critique of actions of Israel. So without talking too long, that's kind of where it looks from our standpoint right now, is that when First Alternative was named in the National Post, I believe it was, as being cut, although the minister hadn't said anything, we were also named in the media, and they had more information than we had.
Mm-hmm.
A few days after our cut.
Mm-hmm.
So we were quite shocked, and it seems clear that one of the things that is in common between Alternatif, Kairos, and the current controversy at Rights and Democracy is that we all support Palestinian groups and Palestinian human rights. That's something to look at. I don't think, in the case of Kairos, I don't think it's the whole picture, but it's an important element to look at.
Well, looking at the issue of the cut to NGOs, we're also here in Montreal, and Alternatives is an organization that has long-term roots within the Montreal community, but also globally. Michel, Alternatives has been involved in development projects and social justice initiatives around the world, not only in Palestine, but globally. So can you maybe just give us an idea about what Alternatives is, and also this crisis that we're seeing within multiple NGOs in relation to the Harper government?
Well, globally speaking, I guess that we can say that Alternative is quite comparable to what Mary just described with Kairos in terms of us working with social movements all over the world. In Palestine, of course, I mean, with Palestinians, but also in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in the Middle East globally, but in Latin America, in Africa. And we've been supportive of various social movements struggling for social justice in various spheres from all over the world. Of course, we took some stands on the question of Israel-Palestine. Mm-hmm. Not big stands, though. I mean, we said at one point, for instance, that Canada should be requesting to Israel to respect the various resolutions that were taken by the United Nations on stop the occupation and so on and so forth. But it seems that only that is enough for the actual current government to look at us as bad guys. Mm-hmm. And it seems that it's enough for them to stop funding us. But the difference with Kairos and us, it is that it's not a very recent thing. I mean, recently we heard in reading the media, because we don't get any contact with them, that we were cut. But in reality, during the last year or so, they stopped responding to any of our calls. Mm-hmm. Calling to...
That's the CEDA.
CEDA and Ministry of International Cooperation.
Okay.
You know, there's nobody at this number. You call them, nothing is happening, nobody's there. Still today, we received today various calls from various medias. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's a new rumor today saying that we have been formally cut. Mm-hmm. But again, phoning CEDA and the ministry, we don't get any answers.
But this cut in regards to human rights work, from your vantage point, speaking up for Palestinian human rights or in opposition to the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, why would this be something that is seen by this government, this conservative government in Ottawa, as policy to not touch or to not question?
I guess it's just opposed to their own policy. Mm-hmm. I mean, their own policy is, as it's been very well described by the person from the Globe, is very well in line with the Israel's policy. I mean, they've been the first one to refuse to recognize this unity government that was created between Fatah and Hamas at one point.
In Palestine.
I mean, I remember that at one point we invited in Canada Mustafa Barghouti, who was the Minister of Information for that government.
For the unity government, exactly.
And we went up to Stephen Harper's office and we knocked the door. They never opened the door, actually. They were refusing to even discuss with these people. So their policy is really in line with Israel's policy. Mm-hmm. And because we are supportive of another policy, it seems that it's enough for them to cut us, even if we don't do, with their money, programs in Palestine. I mean, we do other programs in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Africa, in Latin America. But because you're not... in line with the policy on Israel, you need to be cut all over.
Well, the politicization of aid.
Yeah, totally.
But may I add something
Go
here
ahead, Mary.
To what Michelle is saying? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michelle. And I think that just to add to what Michelle is saying, I think it's true that there is a coherence between the kind of development and human rights work that Rights and Democracy Alternative and Kairos are doing. And certainly Kairos has tremendous respect for all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that what I have said to people recently is that the position of Kairos hasn't changed. The work has always been, we've always been proud to say, that our work falls exactly within the position of the federal government. It falls exactly in the... desire to end the occupation.
If you look at the federal government official policy, they would say that the West Bank, the occupation of the West Bank is illegal. I mean, that's in accordance to international law, yes.
That's right, but the website has been changed, and in fact, the policies are being changed, but people don't know about it. So all of a sudden, then we no longer fit.
We're going to now go to David Blinkney in Ottawa. David?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, thanks for being with us. You were in Cairo recently for the International Gaza Freedom March. On the ground in the Middle East as part of a global solidarity initiative that brought together activists from around the world in support of Palestinian human rights, of Palestinians living in Gaza under siege. Could you maybe describe that experience in Cairo and the urgency of the situation of Palestinian human rights in relation to this wave of silencing, really, of critique towards Israel and Canada?
There was a significant Canadian participation in the delegation, the Gaza Freedom March, who brought together about 1,400 people from around the world, all feeling, I think, a sense of outrage over the silence around Gaza and the living conditions inside of it, which is essentially that of an open-air prison surrounded on all sides. The objective of the march was to break the siege. And the question about the tunnels going between the two countries, between Egypt and Israel, which are essential for bringing in food and aid, are also allegedly used for bringing in arms, which I'm sure they are. But isn't it interesting when people try to go openly and honestly and cross the border without bringing any arms, but bringing medicine, in fact, and solidarity and just our human bodies, that that's prevented? As a Canadian in Cairo, we were somewhat alarmed because, of course, as you know, we never made it to Gaza, and the situation was quite tense.
Hundreds of you were gathered in Cairo.
Yeah, and we were refused passage to Gaza, and so we had to remain in Cairo, and the policing was quite heavy. But those of us trying to get in touch with our embassy didn't really feel that there was much assistance at all. Not only in this case, but also around recently in Brussels, I was thrown out of the Canadian embassy as well. I was traveling with a Colombian indigenous man. A Canadian corporation is responsible for using death squads to kill his friends, and he was receiving text threats while in Europe. So we thought it would be appropriate to stop at the embassy, since we're traveling with this man, to report the activities of Canadian corporation. So, you know, I think that you have to connect all of these dots, and it's not just a question of Israel-Palestine, although that's key, certainly, but you've got a Canadian government itself that seems to be completely out of touch and completely out of the loop when it comes to human rights and just any kind of respect. Human behavior from a government.
Well, I'll throw out a question to everybody. We're talking a lot around the issue of the fact that all three of you at the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, at Kairos in Toronto, here at Alternatives in Montreal, have been talking about the issue of Palestinian human rights for many years. So what is the issue? What is there to talk about? What is the situation on the ground that concerns you so much in Palestine? And why has it been important for you to speak out, given the risks financially to your organization? Maybe first we'll go to you, Michel.
Well, I think obviously we need to talk about the situation of Palestinians. I mean, people might be tired of hearing about it because it's been there for so many years, and it's easy to forget after all so many other things happening. So we need to keep always talking about that. And of course, what happened last year with the invasion in Gaza was terrible, and we needed to always like come back to talk about that. And the other thing is that there are people in Palestine and in Israel having other ideas, you know, that might be eventually...
Other ideas like what?
Well, you know, some people are talking maybe we should have one state. It sounds very crazy while everybody is talking about the two-state solution, but maybe that should be considered. But the real issue here, I think, is, of course, Israel-Palestine is very important, but the real issue here in Canada is we're in front of a government which is not allowing people to talk. It's even an issue of freedom of speech, but it's very, very concerning that now we're talking about international cooperation, but we had seen cuts in a women organization, we've seen cuts in culture, we've seen cuts in very other spheres of the society where people were talking and questioning the government's policies in various spheres. So now we have to look at that and question that government more globally speaking. It's not only like international cooperation, it's what is the democracy here in Canada these days?
Well, that ability to speak to many is the essence of democracy.
Yeah.
So about Palestine, Mary in Toronto, why was this an issue that you felt important as Kairos to speak out about?
Well, you know, our churches have been involved in supporting people in Palestine, inspired in part by a great concern about the plight of the Christian Palestinian community, which probably raised the issue of all Palestinians, and certainly they are, at this point, among the poorest, some of the poorest people in the world, and have serious human rights concerns. So those are the kind of groups whose assistance we have gone to. So our program is one of solidarity with the Palestinian people, and it's really a question of land and livelihood, and the right to a safe, secure, and viable state. And we've always, by the way, supported Israel and its right to a safe, secure, and viable state. But in our support and solidarity with the Palestinians, one of the issues is, why are you living in this situation? And you have to get at the fundamental causes. So that has led to us critiquing behaviors, actions of different Israeli governments. Mm-hmm. To equate that with an attempt to destroy Israel is way out of line. It's way out of line.
Okay.
And our work in Palestine is comparable to our work in other areas of the world. And I'm sure, I expect that alternatives might say the same thing. If you look at what Kairos does to support people in the Philippines, in Indonesia, in Africa, and in Latin America, our positions are the same.
This idea of questioning in our society that Michelle raised, Mary, you're addressing from Toronto. Mary is, of course, the executive director of Kairos, a social justice ecumenical organization, Mary Corkery, and we're in studio with Michelle Lambert, the executive director of the Montreal-based International Solidarity Organization Alternatives. But to you, Dave, in Ottawa, with the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, a union with a long tradition of grassroots organizing, maybe talk about what a lot of commentators have seen as the narrowing of democratic space and discussion in Canada since this conservative government has come to power. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, just the attacks against NGOs and those who would sort of watch out, I guess, for us.
Yes.
And question and report and dig up information. I mean, these aren't things that were created from some left-wing conspiracy. These are things created in some cases by the Brian Mulroney government. And I think if we go back and think about those times, we can also say that, you know, Canada played a fairly decent role around ending apartheid in South Africa and came out of the gate even in, I would say, opposition to Thatcher and Reagan and took some important steps. So we've seen that kind of history, even from conservative governments, just evaporate, and we've come into this sort of Wild West approach of winner takes all, which I think places us on the international stage as somewhat of a dangerous course in terms of having any credibility at all when it comes to human rights. We can only see is what happened to Canadian citizens being held in Guantanamo Bay and other places and so on. So it's been a very slippery slope for the past 2 years, and I think all Canadians should be very alarmed over the state of affairs when it comes to the rights of Canadians traveling abroad and international human rights in general.
Well, in regards to the role of citizens, now Alternatives and actually all the organizations featured today on the program, whether it's workers or students or activists, one thing that is clearly in common is the idea of social engagement, the idea of engaging at a grassroots level with the political process. But we're actually sitting today on this radio discussion in a context where there's no government. Our parliament has been prorogued. We named the discussion proroguing Palestinian human rights. But maybe just in terms of the idea of social engagement in relation to Palestine, and David, you talked about the role that Canadians played in opposing apartheid in South Africa. We've seen that wave again with Palestine, whether it's here in Quebec, but also across the country. There's been growing questioning of Israeli state policy towards the Palestinians living under occupation. And obviously there is a connection between that growing grassroots questioning and these cuts. So Michelle, I would ask you, because I know that you've spent time in the region, in the Middle East, maybe offer some stories or a memory that strikes you in regards to your own work as, you know, being involved in Alternatives and being also involved in supporting grassroots groups in the Middle East. Why is this relationship important between people here in Montreal and people in Palestine or activists in Israel? Why should we think of this relationship as important?
I will answer you in changing subject somehow. A few years ago, there was something called the Free Trade of the Americas Agreement. It was very important. It was something pushed forward by the Americans, and Canadians were behind that quite a lot. And we managed in and sending information all over and mobilizing people and informing people to challenge that. And we manage also, we being people here in Montreal, but we manage to network with people all over the Americas from the very south to here to push forward discussion, citizen discussions, and then organizations discussion. And at the end of the day, there was a quite big consensus about this should not happen, this free trade of the Americas. So coming back to the Middle East again, and especially in a context where we don't have any government these days, I think informing citizens is the key, is the thing that we have to do, and we have the right to do. It's important. I was talking about various people in Israel having other ideas. I think we have the right as Canadians to know these ideas, and we have the right as organizations to divulge those ideas and inform people about that and force debates and eventually to push forward our government to take other policies, to have other policies related to that. So I think it's our role to do that, and I would challenge any government trying to stop us to do so.
Well, and also just in regards to getting grants or funding from the government, you know, there's various discussions about what that means, but essentially the bulk of this money is actually tax collection, so it is from the population. I don't know, Mary, if you have any comments on what Michelle talked about in terms of civic engagement.
Well, I think the perspective that I think is important to raise at this moment is the role of people-to-people solidarity. People in Canada wishing to help their neighbors, wishing to address poverty and human rights issues, and for that matter also environmental issues in Canada and in the South, wishing to be global citizens. And the fact that our taxpayers' money is being used for this is, I would believe, has been part of Canadian values for a long time. Canadian values are that we are citizens of the globe, and I think we need to look at the fact that NGOs in Canada have a very special expertise. We work representing often cases, as in right now with Kairos, we represent groups across the country of people in their churches and also in communities, ecumenical groups. And we serve groups in the Global South who have creative ideas of alternatives or who are working for change. And that kind of solidarity between people in Canada and people in the South, I think, is more directly happening and happening in a different way with NGOs than happens with government, who, for instance, have large bilateral projects which usually last a year or two and maybe in, for instance, large educational or hospital or other kinds of activities. They're very different, but they're complementary. And that's why we have at CETA this partnership branch, which was meant to say that it's partnership between people in Canada and people in the South, and partnership between the NGO community and the government community that has made our aid so effective.
Okay.
And that's what's at risk right now, is the NGO role.
Okay. Well, just a final question to all of you. We're running out of time, but I would like to hear your thoughts on this. Given everything you've outlined, what do we do? This is a community radio station here, and the whole idea of CKUT is about social engagement. So given the circumstance, and there was many topics brought up, from proroguing Parliament to the cuts in the NGO sector, what should people do? How should they engage with this issue if they're concerned about it?
Well, I think people have to engage in all fronts, right? I mean, and that includes, you know, in the streets as well as in all kinds of processes that lie before us. But the fact is, and if we, I think it has to be framed in the sense that, you know, we all have a right to democracy and freedom. We have an expectation of that. And what we're seeing is very slippery slope to something like far darker, almost a fundamentalist approach to governing. So there's a responsibility for all of us to exist. But within that is this context of what, you know, passes for electoral theater, which is really a fraud. I mean, you know, our electoral system where half the people don't vote, and first past the post, you know, sort of competitive approach, and weighed against all of this, this frustration of dealing with that milieu. You know, you've got white phosphorus, you know, raining down on children, and groups
in Gaza, you mean?
Yeah, in Gaza, and groups promoting peace and around the world and within Canada being silent. So I think it's a really thoughtful reflection on this really demands of all of us is to recognize that Canada itself is an apartheid state, refuses to sign the UN Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People, and that we here have a special responsibility rather than wrapping ourselves in a Canadian flag of, you know, aren't we great, nice people and peacekeepers, to actually recognize that dark legacy of our history that is still bubbling under, that still contributes to a great deal of misery in the world today. And so I think struggling in all levels, but the first step is to understand and accept the fact that Canada is essential a human rights pariah state.
Mary or Michelle, any comments on how do we respond to the ideas that we've been discussing about? Michelle, I see you.
Well, of course, I agree with what has just been said. I also have to take the opportunity to ask to CKUT's listener to look at our website and look at the support.alternative.ca, where we are asking people to write to the Ministry of International Cooperation and tell her that we should not be considered the way we are. So I hope people will do that. And yes, I fully agree with what has been said right now.
Mm-hmm. And Mary, any final comments?
Well, I would say also it would be very helpful to ask for funding for Alternative and Kairos and Independence for Rights and Democracy, which is an excellent organization. And I think to ask people to talk about what is Canada's proud history. Canada has a long, proud, and excellent history of international aid, to talk about it and learn about it. And you can come to all our websites and look at the whole program. And the last thing I would say is don't allow anywhere, because it's happening also in our communities, don't allow labeling of people as anti-Semitic or groups as anti-Semitic as a way to silence them. The time for that is over. And I think the stomach, if you will, of the public for that kind of name-calling is gone. It's just no longer acceptable.
Using anti-Semitism and that label as a way to silence critique towards the Israeli government, you mean?
That's right. And also to say that anti-Semitism is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing, it's a reality, and it's hate. And to use that as a label for groups that are not anti-Semitic is totally unacceptable.
Okay.
We have to make it unacceptable.
Well, thank you to everybody for joining this discussion today, proroguing Palestinian human rights. We've been speaking in studio with Michelle Lambert, the executive director of the Montreal-based international solidarity organization Alternatives. On the phone in Ottawa, David Blinkney, the national representative with the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, CUPW. And in Toronto, Mary Corkery, who's the executive director of Kairos, that is a Canadian ecumenical social justice group. Both Kairos and Alternatives are facing cuts in funding from the federal government. The postal workers are preparing for also increasing cuts towards their workers' benefits from Canada Post, a Crown corporation. So across the board, struggles are going on. And so this is the end of this segment on CKUT Community Radio. I'd like to thank you for tuning in. I've been your host today, Stefan Christoph.